Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and today we are talking mock drafts. On the weekend we did a Ultimate Footy mock. Thank you to everyone who got involved with that. And about a week and a half ago we did a Supercoach mock draft. Again, thank you to everyone involved with that. And we're just going to recap some of the good picks, the bad picks, and what we liked about the draft. To help me do that is a couple of guys here with the Statesman. The JLT starts this weekend. Glad that the men's footy's back.
Yes, I am, and I'm also pretty excited to get 10 minutes into it and flick on something else, because it always happens, doesn't it? The reality is we all get excited, and then the reality is the footy's not the best, and it's because it is pre-season, and that's why I thought it a bit harsh. A few people having a crack at the girls. Well, this is their pre-season too in reality, but they're playing for points. But yeah, Thursday night it all starts. Looking forward to it. And also looking forward to, on a fantasy perspective, is the traders calling out the Hawthorn game. That'll give us a bit of enjoyment, but also a bit of insight too. I love hearing other people around these type of networks sharing their thoughts, and that's how I compute it all.
Whereabouts can we listen to those guys?
I think it'll be stream live, Of course, and I'll have to double check, but I'm pretty sure you'll get it through the AFL app as well.
Oh, cool. And Steve, bit of a scare last week with Baby Fizz. Welcome to you.
Yes, mate. Baby Fizz has looks like there's a bit of a peanut allergy, Jono.
That's not good.
It's not good.
I know you like your peanuts.
Well, I love all nuts, Jono. I love nuts in my mouth.
You like all nuts.
Love nuts. Get them down my throat. They're my favourite thing. What's got me more worried, Jono, is things that other people aren't having. Dan Hand, no booze.
Oh, I was going to get to that in the news. I saw it on Friday night. He's off the grog. He's burning up the track. But guess what? He's burning it up off my draft board.
That's it. Put a line through him. Easton Woods said,
Don't like gambling. Give me Hodgie. Give me Clayton Oliver. These are the guys I'm after.
I was having a discussion with Mrs. Fizz about David Schwartz.
Yeah.
Get him in my team.
Yeah.
Oh, I need these risky.
Big risky.
Risky men in my team.
And I mean, I love the old Dan Hand. Used to do runners from calves and punching people. I mean,
That's the Dan Hand I loved.
I know, him and Toby Green getting together, just all good stuff.
Dan Caulfield, good times, good times.
Good times indeed. Bit of news coming out over the weekend. The Statesman's favourite, Deledio, looks like he's gone down with a calf injury yet again. So that Palmer's looking pretty good for me.
I suck.
Who could have predicted Deledio breaking down?
Just mind blown.
It's unbelievable.
About as believable as Brad Crouch doing another hamstring.
Who could have predicted that?
Just never saw it coming. And looks like Goldie's rolled his ankle as well, but don't believe too much of that.
Yeah, we'll pick and choose what we want to believe. I believe Goldie's a tower of strength.
Yes.
Pillar.
And the complete social media meltdown when Dangerfield limped off the track. Turns out he just got a corky.
I like it because it puts pressure on people with that number one pick. It
certainly does.
Which is pretty good because we don't have it.
A pain in the butt, those corkies sometimes. But some other news coming out. I don't know if you caught this, Steve, but the Bombers, they played an intra-club practice match. It was only for three quarters.
Was that one of those million-degree days?
I don't know. It could have been.
It's been pretty hot.
It has been pretty hot. But seriously, three quarters. They do know it's four. Or are they just easing their way back?
Or maybe they're big fans of ice hockey, Jono.
Quite possibly. Yeah. Interesting tacking if they do go play the whole three quarters. If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can check us out at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. But the big news is the website, it's up and going. The content dropping daily. We've got articles on team analysis at the start. Rankings are coming. I believe, Steve, you got the Supercoach mock draft results. But today we're talking mock drafts. And as I said at the start of the show, about a week and a half ago, we did a Supercoach mock draft. And the structure of that was snake draft, 10 team, 22 players in the 5-7-1-5 format, four on your bench and a captain's league. Just to go over some things that was noticeable was Steve's going to go over some positional trends.
Yeah, there was some really interesting trends. And to be honest, a lot of the things we've been talking about over the preseason really rung true. 19 defenders gone before the 10th forward. Wow. Okay, so people are noticing that. I think we've all agreed, you know, there's value to be mined later in the forwards, but when it comes to your defenders, there's some big hitters at the top, and then once you get past the defender, say 35, you're really scratching. And that bore out in the first, what was it, pick 61 was the 10th forward, so 19 defenders. That's a third of the picks. Three rucks went in the first round.
Well, we saw
the first nine picks.
We've seen it in a few other mock drafts from other fantasy sites that the top three rucks have gone early.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. Just that's a big investment to make. I mean, you really have to nail that first round pick for mine, I would have thought, unless you're really confident of what you're going to get on the way back. So the first eight rounds, we saw nine rucks go off the board.
Wow.
Okay, and then in the next eight, three. So if you miss on your, if you don't draft a ruck, you can really sit back and wait till the end of the draft and scoop up some value there.
Yeah.
Round three and four, this is where we saw the forwards start to fly off the board. We saw seven forwards draft in rounds three and four.
In round three and four, wow.
Almost. But rounds five and six, no forwards went off the board.
Interesting.
Isn't that amazing? Just that was where people had grabbed their mids. Obviously, a couple of rucks have gone off the board, grabbed some defenders with the premium on defenders this year, and then they really hooked into the forwards. The first forward off the board was actually Luke Dalhouse, pick 18.
Wow.
So that's the back end of the second round there. The first defender off the board was Sam Doherty at pick 11.
Yep.
First midfielder was Patrick Dangerfield at pick 1, and first ruckman was Max Gorn at pick 2. That was me, obviously. Some pretty interesting trends there, and I think that's feeling amongst the draft community.
Yeah.
That defenders are really at a premium this year.
Absolutely. Some of the guys that I liked, that some people picked up, there was a guy, you know, I'm high on Wingard this year, so I could have had plenty of opportunity to pick him up, but I sat back just to see where he did go. He went in pick 92 in the 10th round, which I think this year is, that's a great pickup, so I thought that was a quality pick.
So Chad Wingard in the 10th round.
Yeah.
That feels like...
feels like good value.
I mean, he could outperform that. Yeah, sure.
Like, we know he's gone higher before, so...
Absolutely.
Very happy with that. Another one I liked, Scott Thompson, pick 198.
From where?
From Adelaide.
Oh.
Pick 198. This guy can be anything, really, this year. We know he's not going to play the whole season, but... he's still going to get you 90+, and if you get him as your seventh midfielder, it's pretty good. I don't like to say this, another pick that looks like it's going to be a winner is Nick Vlosten. We saw him in the intra-club match play pure mid. I don't know if it's Hardwick just giving Richmond fans a bit of hope, but he killed it. Went at pick 172 in the 20th round, so another good pick there that I really liked. Another one, David Armitage. I know we've bagged him before, but going at pick 185.
I don't want him.
I mean, if he can get back to 100.
You know why you like him? Because you had him when he popped.
That was 2 years ago.
Yeah. He's, no.
I didn't want him last year. But
why did they recruit inside midfielders?
Because Armitage ain't going to play. Yeah, it's possible. Right. It's possible. Statesman, some of the people you like.
Yeah, I look for the value. And the first one going from the back end of the list was Elliot Yeo at 206. I thought that's a real bargain. I think people are scared of the yo-yo.
I had him on my list as a value.
Yeah, it's one of those that he's probably got a bad reputation now, but there's no holding back the fact this man can really score. And we've seen him score in the 150s in actually both formats. So he is expecting more midfield time. So as those opportunities grow and he learns a bit more, and I think he was the first one to say, I've probably been thrown in too many different roles and lose my balance and in where my game's meant to be. This man can score. And once that consistency comes, and he is still young, he's going to be a high scorer. So being down as a forward at 206, I thought was a bargain.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, I think in the 21st round, Elliot Yeo is ridiculous value.
Certainly is.
I mean, that's your third bench player. I mean, that's fantastic, especially in your Supercoach formats.
Mm.
The next two I've picked out are Jared Witts at 197. I think it's pretty clear that he is actually going to get the number one ruck opportunity, and he's shown at Collingwood he can ton up. I think now he's got the opportunity, the old swapping clubs, getting the right opportunity. The first year is generally their best year, and I think for those that are picking out rucks in round one, might be a little bit embarrassed in the year, because I don't think he's going to be too far behind a Brody Grundy when we're talking super coach points. And the next one is 196, and I hope I haven't stole this one from you, Steve, is Cam Ellis-Yolman being a forward option in that round. So they're talking the 20th round, looking at someone who is already shown scoring ability, great points per minute player. He has finally worked on his tank. Took a long time for the message to come, but with the removal of Jared Lyons, the injury to Brad Crouch, and purely his own development, he's going to be a big scorer this year. So 196, I thought, was a fantastic pickup. One, a little bit of risk with it, but I think he's got a dead set opportunity for a big year, is Nathan Rovat, who went at 165. I thought that was a sensational pick, and I think for a forward, he's going to be in that top 20 forward scoring. And I'll just do one more, which is 129, Mitch Duncan, with the potential of increased time in the midfield this year. I think Mitch could be quite a high scorer. We know when he gets the midfield roles, he's right up there.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly all over a few of those guys. I'll run through a few of the guys I thought were really good value. I'm going to start at the top. I'm going to say Tom Mitchell at pick 23, midfield of 15 off the board.
Wow.
To me, that feels like fantastic value in the third round.
Big time.
To get a guy you're potentially captaining.
And potentially be a top five scorer. Super coach.
Absolutely. Matty Boyd.
Who was that player?
Tom Mitchell.
Yep, agree.
Yeah. Matty Boyd, I thought at pick 47, so in the fifth round, the 12th defender off the board. Man, Matty Boyd never lets you down.
What round was that, sorry?
The fifth round.
Okay.
So I think that's really good value. As the 12th defender off the board, I really like that.
Yeah.
I think there was guys that went in front of him that probably don't offer you the consistency Matty Boyd does. I know he's a better dream team player.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if he's your second defender, I mean, you're pretty locked and loaded.
Especially
if you're
able to grab a Shaw or Doherty in front of him as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Someone else, I'm not big on Jack Gunston this year, guys. I know he was on my burn man list. But Jack Gunston at pick 69 is the 14th forward off the board.
Jeez.
Seventh round. I mean, that feels like fantastic value to me.
Certainly does.
He could drop and return value at that pick for mine.
Mm.
That's what I like about it, because I was thinking he was going to be someone's first forward coming into the draft, but he's obviously going to be someone's second forward, and that feels like fantastic value.
And I'll be comfortable with that.
Yeah. Another pick I like was Lachie Hunter, pick 110.
That's ridiculous.
I know he's a better Dream Team player, but again, I feel like that's pretty fantastic value when you're talking on at the start of the 12th round, back of the 11th round.
46 mid off the board too, so... Fantastic.
I mean, if he's your fifth midfielder, you're pretty solidified, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, you'd be punching the air like no tomorrow.
Yep. I liked Callum Mills at pick 142.
Yeah.
I thought that's a player who presents a lot of upside as a defender. I think out of these mid-range defenders, he's someone with the pedigree that we know is going to improve just through sheer experience. Eventually see him stepping up to be quite a handy player. And the last guy I want to talk about, Caleb Daniel at pick 190. Man, come on. He's listed as a forward. You've got him basically at a bench value. I mean, that he can pop. He can pop for mine.
Moving on now to our so-called worst picks of the draft.
Well, Johnny, we love throwing a bit of shade.
We do. And I'm going to throw a bit of shade on Hooli Dooli, the team name there. Picking up Scott Lysette in the 13th round. He still had, on the board still, was you got players like Sandy, Hickey, Big Boy, and Nankervis. Yet he's gone with a Ruckman who's injured and 50-50 as to whether he plays round one. Just one I didn't like. Another one, this bloke, he grabs Steph Martin round three, and then in round seven grabs Nick Nat.
Nick Nat was on my list.
Okay.
It's probably on all of our lists.
I think it just stood out there like a big beacon. It's come out today. We might not even see Nick Nat for the season. Well, depending on how West Coast travel, but...
To be fair, there was news that Nick Nat was out kicking footies when we did our
mock draft. Okay, so could have been influenced by that. But again, there was plenty of quality he got. Could have got Cox and Gibbs.
You didn't need it with Steph.
No.
Your team already.
No. That was just about it for me in the don't like category. Not too much I didn't like there.
There was a lot I didn't like, Jono.
Okay.
There was a lot I didn't like. All right, we'll start at the top. I believe... Jono selected Gary Ablett at pick 20.
Yes, thank you, computer malfunction.
Ah, blaming the computer.
Blame the computer. That was supposed to be Titch, but for some reason, when you type stuff, my laptop doesn't like to register keys.
All right, well, how about Daniel Wells at pick 94?
I don't love it, but it could go either way.
I don't love it at all. I mean, A, if he's fit, and B, does he return value on that pick? I mean, I'm pretty sure I got better players later than that.
True.
So, Stacemen, what do you think about that one?
Yeah, I'm not overly joyed by it, to be honest. I was laughing at Ablett and the excuse.
Piss poor. Well, let's wait for Jono's excuse on this one. Tommy Nipples, pick 117.
I didn't pick Tommy
Nipples.
That was
Nichols. One of mine.
Oh, was it one of yours?
I got Nipples in the ultimate footy, mate.
Oh. Tommy Nipples, pick 117. Ruck 10 off the board.
Round 12, that was we got big cocks.
That is horrific.
To be fair, whoever picked him up did the right thing and handcuffed him to Jared Witz at a pick 197, who I said was a good pick. So
that's true.
In the overall scheme of things, whoever did that, at least they had that sensible backup option. But I do agree, if I was going to pick either one of them first, it would be Jared Witz.
To be honest, I think it's a horrible pick. And the fact that you've drafted the number one ruck seven rounds later emphasizes that.
Yeah. Yes. What,
eight rounds.
What's Tom Nichols going to do that you couldn't have got? I mean, I'd take Cruiser over him, to be honest.
Yeah, because we know Phillips is down.
Exactly. A couple other picks I didn't like. Jason Johannesson at pick 26. Really didn't like that.
That was me.
Yeah, I understand that. I know that. That's why I thought I'd bring it up. Alex, I know you're not the super coach doyen, but Alex Rance and Montagna were still on the board. I felt it was a bit early, unless you really think Johansson's going to pop. But
well, he was popping last year until his hammy popped.
Exactly. Well,
to be fair, it was my first defender. I was never going to go Montagna because I believe he's a burn man, which if you listen to our current shows, you would have understood. And Jono, just with your Ablett pick, I think the first show I did with you guys, I said, don't draft him. So thanks for listening to that one. So it was a case that, and you're right, it's probably that dream team thing going in my head that I avoid the key position players.
Yeah,
I think the only one I would get sucked into would be Handsome Tom.
Yeah, okay. Well, Alex Rance is probably the best key defender you could
trust,
put in your team. Anyway, two more. Jack Steele at pick 137. I thought it was a bit of a reach, 32nd forward off the board. We know he's had some problems. I don't know that he's best 22.
No.
In fact, I think there's been a lot of preseason hype and hasn't exactly been matched by production. And I'm a little bit worried. I think he's going to burn a few people, to be honest. So I'm certainly not in love with that pick.
And who are some of the people you don't like, Statesman? Or some of the picks that you didn't like?
We've covered most of them, so I'll just talk about two embarrassments, which were the last two picks, Reece Palmer and Josh Smith. Please explain, boys.
I had my eighth can by the end of the draft, and I needed a filler.
Reece Palmer, you're going to slag a bloke off on his birthday.
Happy birthday, Reece.
28, right in his prime. I think we all know he's going to pop.
Reckons Carlton 3 years behind GWS.
Hey, I think he was pretty relevant 3 years ago. He might be relevant now.
Look,
it was obviously a troll pick.
Yeah.
My last pick.
Of course. I thought you did it for a gag.
It is.
McCluggage was interesting, very late. And I suppose if you look at a Callum Mills last year, that you can have a rookie that comes in and has some draft value. But I think as an outside player, he's one of those that is going to get the 6 to 10 games. And to be quite honest with you, I don't think they're draftable.
If you do love the show, you can hit us up on a few different outlets where you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud. And if you've got a few minutes spare, please do leave us a review and subscribe. We love reading out all the funny reviews we do get, and I believe we have one this week, Steve.
Yeah, we got a great review from GYJBDX.
Okay, just think. Must have kid must have been hitting the buttons there.
Vowels are at a premium, I guess. He writes in, best for info. Love the depth they go into about players. It is really helpful in deciding whether or not to pick them up, or if they will slide in a draft. Or should I grab them quick? I leak into a few things for Supercoach, and these guys are the best. So thank you,
G1 Alphabet. Alphabet, thank you very much. Now moving on to our ultimate footy draft, which we had over the weekend. Again, it was snake draft, 10-team comp with 27 players in the 5-7-1-5 format with 4 emergency and 5 on the bench. Oh, sorry, Statesman, do you notice any trends?
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Yes, I certainly did. Firstly, it was our first little run at Ultimate Footy for this year. We did set it up. I heard a lot of complaints about how many we had on the bench, so that would be fixed up the next time we have a mock. I had these two whinging for quite a while. I went for an extra 2 minutes, which was obviously, sadly, very important time for them. But the Ultimate Footy setup was actually a little bit interesting. I have been informed since that there is a version where you can actually see them on the ground. I couldn't see that, so it was actually hard to know what type of balance you got. So that was an interesting challenge. I did set it at 30-second turnarounds, but because of the lag in the system, everyone was left between 15 and 20 seconds to take their pick. And when someone just picked the person you had next ready to go, that was a bit of a challenge. So a few of us had some challenges in our selections, and we did have one of our players that had an auto pick, but I'll get back to the auto pick very, very soon. With regards to our positional trends, I thought I'll concentrate on the first 3 rounds, so the top 30 picks, which is where you sort of get a bit of an understanding where things are heading. In those top 30 picks, we had 7 backs, we had 16 mids, we had 4 rucks, and I don't think I need to explain who those 4 rucks are. They're pretty obvious. And we only have 3 forwards. So very much like what happened in Supercoach, the run on forwards actually happened quite late. In fact, it was round 5 and 6 where there was a big rush on forwards, and more than half the picks in those 2 rounds were actually forwards. So it just proved the same deal that we had with Supercoach, that the quality in the back line is pretty thin. So I think 7 of our 10 teams all picked 1 back in those first 3 rounds. We had 1 team pick 3 mids, and they were the only ones that did. Another 4 that picked 2 mids. The rest were single. And, of course, our 4 teams picked a ruck each in the top 30, and 3 teams picked 1 forward each. And those forwards, which probably aren't too much of a surprise, one went at round 1, which was actually you, Steve. You went Jack McRae. What was the rationale behind that one?
Well, I was sort of thought mids were a bit same, and I actually think Dream Team's a little bit different to your Supercoach, where I have the top 7 forwards in a bit of a plateau together. I think the top forwards in Dream Team pop a little bit more for me, and I really wanted to secure one of them early.
No, and fair enough. The other 2 to go were both in the 3rd round, which was Luke Dalhouse and Nick Riewoldt. So only 1 in the first 2 rounds. That's only 1 forward in the first 2 rounds. Rucks, of course, had a bit of excitement early, as they have been seen. I remember remarking over Twitter to Warney with regards to the traders when they did a very early draft, and there was 4 5 picked in the first 2 rounds, which surprised me, but everything we've seen since is very, very similar. So basically people were pointing out, I want one of those ruck and I want to square them away early. And I think they're suggesting that the mid-range of ruckman for 2017 is actually quite thin. When you look at the names, they're probably right, but I can guarantee there's a bit of gold in there somewhere. Although Jono doesn't agree, I think one of those is actually Jared Witts. And I think I was the one to pick no. I do apologise. Of course, it was our snake colleague, Jasny, that probably picked up Jared Witts, which would have been reasonably late. And I think that is very, very good value. And out of the midfield, I probably was surprised. Someone went for positional play ahead of grabbing a captain, which is a very interesting strategy. His first 3 picks were Taylor Adams, Brodie Grundy, and Rory Sloane. Gentlemen, who would you captain out of those 3?
Grundy.
Who else you got? That's the problem.
You've got Jordan Lewis and Rory Sloane.
I don't like either of Rory Sloane and Jordan Lewis this year particularly, but, yeah, that's the problem.
Mm.
So that was an interesting strategy, but he did lock away the number one defender or the number one ranked defender and the number two ranked ruckman. So he's got that positional structure squared away. I actually think he drafted quite well late, but my only concern with Colin Jasny team is that the fact they don't have a captain. Any other thoughts, gentlemen?
Yeah, Nick Lawson, he's lost me already, so scratch him.
No, I think it's interesting what you say about the rucks. I really think people have missed the... I think people drafting early on the rucks are missing the boat on Paddy Ryder, available, we see, in the eighth round sort of thing. Mm. I think they're missing the boat on Jared Witts, who I don't think is too far behind. And I just think you're passing up a lot of value. I'll be honest, I've drafted a ruck high in the Supercoach mock, and I've drafted a ruck late in this mock. I'm happier with the Dream Team, to be honest.
Yeah. So you prefer getting that ruck later and just...
I back myself to find the value and, you know, use the positional, you know, stream the position and find week-to-week value.
Yeah, and there's always going to be one position or ruckman that's going to pop, like we saw with Grundy last year.
It happens.
Yep.
Which does lead me into my top picks for the Ultimate Footy Mock Draft. And I have selected at least one player for each of the teams, so I'll quickly rattle them off. And speaking of great value in the ruck, Jono's was actually 179. It was Jared Witts himself, which is great value, which meant he was able to lock away a decent couple of forwards, good strength midfield. Obviously, very smart pick at number two, Steve. Lockie Neal he went for. Must be listening to the right type of people.
I only did that to annoy the States.
Yeah, no, I knew that. But I will say my first pick, which I rate my best, maybe my squad's a little bit vanilla and break out happy in the defence line. But at number five, Tom Mitchell, I think in Dream Team, he's a potential number one scorer for the year. We haven't seen how Tom can play at his best yet, so... I think as a captain option, he's magnificent. Steve, I think your best pick was at 74 in Matt Crouch. We talked about his points per minute last week. He has the potential to be in the top 20 midfield scorers this year. I think him and Cam Ellis-Yolman are going to be the beneficiaries of Jared Lyons and now Brad Crouch's injury. A really interesting team. Mez Terry, I hope I pronounced that correctly. He went Max Gawn for his first pick at pick number 9. Back round the table at pick number 12, he was trying to get Sam Doherty. It went auto on him. About 11 rounds later, when he could pick it himself, he picked Braden Jack. So I think the auto selector did the best thing for him and started drafting for him. And that's actually his best pick, because at pick number 12, he's got Zach Merritt. And I think hugely underrated, top two scorer last year. And I don't think he's going to drop out of the top 10. And he's the perfect captain option for him, while he's got Max Gawn sitting there plugging away, being the number one ruckman for him. So actually well sorted out auto pick. Congratulations. The Richie Benos... I reckon the best pick was 106, which is Mark Murphy. If he can get anywhere near his best, very fit in the off season, I think that's going to be a great pickup. Colin Jasny, he stole. I'm going to name the three players because he stole three players off me just when I was about to pick him. Patrick Ryder at 73, great pickup, great value. Jack Billings 93, who I reckon is going to be a top 10 forward scorer this year. Great selection. And talking about points per minute, midfield, Sam Melangola at Geelong at 153, I reckon, is an absolute ripper and probably outscore two or three of his midfielders that he picked beforehand in the first 5 to 6 rounds. Scott's team, one from left field, maybe it probably went a little bit vanilla. Good start, Rockcliffe, Goldstein, Dalhouse, but it is vanilla. But I'm going to pick a breakout. We were expecting it last year. Got all a bit excited. Maybe that's more salary cap. But Daniel Howe for Hawthorn, I reckon he's going to be a great defensive scorer in 2017. Shut up, Dave. I went for 158. Jared Lyons, points per minute stud. Cripple Brewer, I've picked up Nathan Rovat, which I thought was a great pickup in Supercoach as well. But at 104, I think he's going to be around that top 12 scorers in the forward line. And Martin's team, which I'll quickly speak about because I've renamed it Risky, because he selected in the one team Gary Ablett, Robert Murphy, Brett Deledio, Harley Bunnell, Jager O'Meara, Brad Crouch, and Matthew Lobe. Between them, they'll probably play about five games. So I've gone, sorry, I'm only joking, Risky. I mean, Martin. But I've gone best pick, and this is for both salary cap and draft. I reckon this bloke's going to be a ripper. Has been in the NEFL for a while. Jake Barrett at Brisbane.
Pick 230.
Great pick.
Pick 230. That's my best pick, boys.
Steve, do you want to run us through a couple of your...
Yeah, I thought I actually go the better picks. I thought Statesman's best pick was in the seventh round. I thought Michael Barlow, wow, what a value there.
Good value there.
Didn't see any value in your team, John. I actually thought my team had a really...
No value.
Sorry?
No value in my team.
No value in your team. Oh, no. Aside from Jared Witts. But I actually thought I got a really good value in the seventh round. I thought... Good personality, Tom, in the seventh round. I thought that was a really fantastic value.
Yeah, I thought so too.
He really doesn't miss matches. And
got a great average for Dreamton.
He's a fantastic F2. To be honest, I think that's a really, really nice value. Yeah, he's a better Dreamton player than Supercoach. We know that. But so I thought that, I mean, Scott Pendlebury at 14 also. That was pretty handy. I thought Matty Boyd at 32 in the fourth round. I thought that was a really nice value. Mm. Matty Boyd really... In this year, we see so many defenders going early with the dearth of value late. I thought that was a really amazing pick. I thought I was certainly interested in Matty Boyd in that range as well. I thought that was a fantastic pick, even if he misses a couple games.
Which he's known to do.
And you throw in a replacement value, he could be the top averaging defender.
Certainly can.
He can. I thought Stevie J in round 15... I actually thought that was really good value. I mean, when you consider Deledio's already injured, like you're talking about a dream team stud.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was actually amazing value. So I'd certainly be happy drafting Stevie J late. And also wanted to throw out Nick Riewoldt at 24 in the third round.
Great value.
I mean,
the number one.
You're talking forward. About the number one defender, the number one forward, sorry, in the third round. I mean, he could. There's no reason he can't still be 5 points better than the next best forward.
No, that's
getting
right.
Him in the third round. That's. I know you boys are ageist, but in me, I don't see the problem.
No,
the third round, the risk is mitigated as well. I mean, to an extent,
it certainly is. Is that all your top picks there, Steve?
Oh, that's. I'll give you the floor, John.
Okay.
I mean, I have more because yep. I mean, I could run through my whole team and say how good it was.
Well, you just look at my team and how great that is, but Handsome Tom, sixth round, come on. Value.
I didn't have that ticked.
I did.
I actually you're talking had... about your own team again, Johnny.
I am. Just starting. Everyone else is, so I might as well jump on board.
The only player I had ticked in your team other than Witts was Kieran Jack at 162 because I think he could get...
He could be anything.
DPP and, yeah.
That's why I thought, well, he could be anything. Take a flyer on him. Few players I liked in the last two picks in the Richie Benno's, Joe Danaher and Rory Atkins.
Joe Danaher's a star.
Is that what I said, is it?
Yeah.
Joe Danaher, apologies. we know Rory Atkins is probably going to get more time on the wing, in the guts. Points are going to go up, as you've seen on the website where I've written about him. Pick 266, great value there for your team. Also, Joe Danaher, we know... The A team's back in. Probably not going to be as a great scorer as he is, Supercoach, but still like the pick there.
Is he as good as Jared Danaher?
No, his twin brother. Evil twin brother.
Who is, though?
also like Mitch Robinson at pick 228. He's a bit, he's boom bust, but on some weeks he can get you that 130 score that's going to win you matches.
Only a mid though.
It could be a matchup dependent, like if it's a nice wet day, lots of tackles involved. Could go close to that 200 and knock Statesman out of the grand final. It'd just be perfect, wouldn't it?
Mitch Robinson score 200.
Go close to a 200. What have you given me?
Jesus.
I liked Martin's team. His first seven picks, as Statesman said, was really good. But also, down at pick 231, Brad Hill is a mid-forward this year.
That's not bad. I will say that. That's not bad. He's on your bench.
He's on your bench. 80-plus average. I mean, I'd take that. And if he gets better, well, he's going to be in the starting lineup for you, isn't he?
Yeah, that's true.
And the other side of the coin, Steve, who do you have there?
Oh, and the bad picks?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Statesman. Brody Smith, buddy. Brody Smith, your defence is in tatters.
As our old mate Hinesy alluded to on Twitter straight after the draft.
Pick 105.
I'm quite comfortable with Brody Smith. I keep saying to you guys that before concussion, the data proved that the man's got score and power. So I'm quite happy to back him in. And I'm quite happy to back in KK as well. I like those two, and I think they've got huge potential.
I guess he didn't listen to the Birdman show when I said Brody Smith's going to be a Birdman.
That's all right, Jono, because you're in the gun next, buddy.
All right.
Pick 122, Tom Nipples.
Yep. Good old handcuffing.
That is a bad pick, buddy.
Just trying something out.
You got the better ruckman five rounds later.
Yeah, well, I can get rid of Nipples and get someone else.
For who?
I don't know.
But you're not going to be able to trade him.
I'd put him back in the pool and grab someone else.
But in the 12th round, you could have got Travis Boak.
I don't like Travis Boak.
But he could have sat on your bench and been better than David Armitage.
I think he'll outscore Tom Nichols.
Exactly.
I still don't like Travis Boak.
Okay, fine. You could have got Matt Suckling. You could have got Scott Thompson, who apparently you love.
I do love.
Well, there you go. You could have got him.
I could have got
anyway,
him.
Anyway, I'll throw myself under the bus.
Yes.
Pick 107, Jamie Millen.
Yeah, what were you thinking of that one?
It wasn't a great
Scott Selwood as well. I didn't like it either.
Put you in so much of a spin at 105 getting Brody Smith that you thought, oh, I have to get a defender now.
No,
ones are gone.
I actually didn't like anyone in that range, to be honest. But I probably could have got no one. Just, I'm looking through the sheets and I'm like, I didn't like anyone in that range. Yeah. But I kind of like Jamie McMillan, but probably about seven rounds too early. Scott Selwood, it's the 19th round.
Was it?
19th.
I thought it was earlier.
How's that a bad pick?
I thought it was earlier. I apologise.
19th round. Pick 71, Robert Murphy.
Yeah.
Come on.
We've said it before.
Not exactly a dream team gun from the get-go. Coming off an ACL. That's pretty horrific. Especially when you got Daniel Rich two rounds, like 20 picks later, he's probably going to be better. Daniel Rich is a defender in Ultimate Footy.
Yes, he is. That wraps up
our... Did you have any bad picks? Did you go through them?
I just had the two there that... Oh, sorry. No, I didn't.
I mean, I could still go Matty Broadbent at pick 99, where I can get Matty Broadbent's value off the waiver wire every week.
Points per minute. I'm just going to the Statesman on this one.
No, he's solid. You know what he's going to get? He's going to get between 78 and 82 each week.
But look what I've got.
That's good for a defender.
Look, that's my fourth defender. I've got...
And I've only got one to add on for worst picks. And although someone must be listening to champion data, because at pick 262, Daniel Menzel was selected by Jono, that elite forward.
He is elite.
He is elite. Sitting on the bench.
Let's get into the questions, Jono. Right straight into the questions. There's no chance I'm fumbling my sheets at all.
That's right. I've got them here like a good host has.
Man, we got some great questions.
How do you pronounce that, by the way?
At Cerulean Breeze on Twitter. Breeze. Who do you think will be more relevant this year? Melbourne's at LeFrost48, who is actually Sam Frost, or Sam Frost of Bachelorette Australia fame?
Got to say Bachelorette of fame. Sam Frost from The Bachelorette.
Really? You sure?
Yeah.
Because I'm killing it in Bachelor Fantasy this year. You're in our league, and I'm smashing it.
Yeah.
I'd say Sam Frost from Melbourne, despite the fact how bad he is at fantasy. All right, from at FunGuy 742555, who are your top 10 Burnmen this season?
Yes, we did a show quite a few weeks ago called Burnmen, and we had 9. The very correct Statesman went for Aaron Hall, James Kelly, and Lee Montagna. No surprise, there's a couple of oldies in there. Steve picked Jack Gunston, Jordan Lewis, and Michael Hibbard. And Jono, who has no idea, said some gun that was drafted 105, Brody Smith, Brendan Goddard, and Mark Blicker. So 2 out of 3 isn't too bad. That was our top 9 that we picked as Burn Man.
Pretty low-hanging fruit with Mark Blicksass there, buddy.
Well, this before we did the show before.
Oh, Stephen Trelaw asks, okie dokie, so we have 16 keepers. This is in his keeper league. 16 keepers from the 2016 season. How important is it to have a balanced 16 pre-draft? Would you keep a worse player in a better position? For example, Brody Smith, who is obviously terrible, in defence over Robbie Gray or Brandon Ellis, who is also terrible, considering I have a fairly packed midfield? Or do I just keep the best averaging players?
Everything you do should be about balance when you're talking about list management. There's no point Collingwood having the best 10 forwards if they've got nothing in the guts and nothing in defence, because if you can't get it down there, you can't get it. It's the same when you're talking a keeper league. You need to, for 16 keepers, be looking to have at least 2 in each line as a bare minimum. And if you've got a stacked midfield, it's the off-season, or if you're out of the running during the season, where you should be trading some of those assets out to actually fix up the lines that you pour in. So if Brody Smith's your best defender, then you keep him. But as you've just heard, I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I think Brody Smith will remain, once he gets to his level, in the top 20 for the next 5 years in defenders. And I think that can only be a positive when you're talking draft formats. Now, there will be quite a few that you should be able to trade for a Robbie Gray. For, let's face it, it's probably got 2 or 3 years less max. And Braden Ellis, as they keep on bringing these midfielders in, it looks like he's getting less and less. Brandon Ellis. Oh, did I say Braden? Okay. Yeah.
Getting Brandon, all the names wrong today.
Yeah. Brandon Ellis, not as bad as Cade Stevens. Brandon Ellis. Brandon Ellis, the reality, he's just going to get less and less midfield time. So he's not a gun midfielder. He's not a person you should be keeping. Someone that's a bit weaker in there that needs that support, make sure you trade for him. So I would pick on 16. It's probably good to have 4, 6, 2, and 4 should be your balance in the perfect world.
Fair enough. Great thoughts there.
Great insight. Absolutely.
And our last question from Adam McFadgen. Are you guys putting out a draft kit? I'm going to field this one. No, we are not putting out a draft kit for this year. We've actually got some exciting things happening. We're going a little bit different way from your draft kit, and we'll give you good insight into how to win your league, which is why we're here, Jono.
Yes, we just have one more question. Colin Wells, I know most people play in leagues with captains. My league doesn't. Should we have a different strategy to those that do? The answer is directly yes. When we were looking at the ultimate footy, there was one team that drafted without a captain strategy, and that was Taylor Adams, Brody Grundy, and Rory Sloane as the top 3 picks. A normal structure, if you have a captain, should include someone like a Tom Mitchell, a Tom Rockcliffe, a Lachie Neal, a Scott Pendlebury, or someone like that that you can square away to be your captain week in, week out. If you haven't got a captain, then I'll be looking to try and tee up and try and get the number one position defender, forward and midfield, and or ruckman if they're still available, because it squares you a good structure.
If you do want to follow us on social media, you can head over to Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or at Statesman33. We are on Facebook. Hit the search button there, The Draft Doctors, or head over to the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Click the contact link there, drop us an email. As Steve has said, we're going to doing some exciting stuff, so get on board. We're going to get a mailing list together. If you like, get a subscription going and give you that awesome content that no one else is going to get to help you win your league.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of great content on the website already, Jono.
Yep.
In the team profiles.
Dropping every day.
You can see the mock draft results.
Yes. We're going to get the rankings up as well, closer.
Got to do that.
Yes. As well. So that wraps up the show from this week. Footy is back tomorrow night with Collingwood and Essendon, I believe it is.
Yep.
At the Docklands.
So obviously, Sharon, go! Get around him! Just going to kill it! Going to get 5 Brownlow votes in the preseason match.
And the Hammy will just completely rip off. And
why would you say that? Why would you say that?
Because you're just getting too excited. It's week one of the JLT.
I just want to smash this down. Just on the excited. Because
we saw it last year. Ooh, Adelaide West Coast. What a great game that'll be. 146-point defeat later. We learnt nothing.
I don't care. I just want to see Sharon go survive.
Just get through three quarters.
Do you remember when in Predator, when Carl Weathers was like, come on, Predator! And then, you know, Carl Weathers' arm flies off.
That's so cool.
And then continues to shoot. Great scene. That's basically how I see Sharon go playing football.
Just wow.
So if he can survive that scene, it's good times.
Just
good
one
times.
Game. That's all we ask
just
for.
One game. Just not much. Just a little bit. Is it too much?
It is not.
It's not.
It's not.
Come on.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.